This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's your boy, Dream Stewart. You see this shirt I got on? Now, I know we all a family. We all be coming out here. Everyone wants to be a part of Bubba's World. I want to be a part of it. Well, if you want to, make sure you click on this link because you can get this shirt. At least you can get this far. We got a bunch of things coming in the future, some exciting things. And I know you send in your videos. Maybe you can end up on the show that way. But if not, always make sure you get this pretty shirt, black and white, and some more coming soon. Click this link right here. Go get yours.
And he did what he does. Then maybe he can't even help himself. You're getting upset like you expect change. I don't think you're going to get the change that you want. Because it's Barsha. He can't help himself. He's just got to go for the front end. I felt great. Made me want to come back. Want to be back for some more. Like I never left. So that was super cool. So what's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy James Stewart. You know where we at. We at the Rewind, baby, from Round 10, Bloods Creek, Maryland. You probably recognize his voice if you watched the race. I was there calling the race, which was awesome, by the way.
Man, it's such a great feeling to be back. Like, as soon as I walked in, people have been cheering like this, and I feel like I'm on the starting gate again. I'm feeling like these boys are about to be right here.
So I was there to get back, see all the fans, see all the riders, and these boys showed up for me this weekend. They gave me a lot of action, a lot of stuff to talk about, which we're going to do it here today. So Round 10 from Bud's Creek. We had to rewind. Let's get into it. At Bud's Creek, it's always one of the riders' favorite. I know it was one of my favorite tracks. The dirt's good. It's in the valley. So even from a fan's point of view, it's nice. It's one of those races that you can see the whole track. The only negative to it is it's in a valley. So when it gets hot, the humidity stays in there. So coming in this weekend, you checked the weather, it was in the mid-80s, so you knew it was probably going to be hot. I guess it just rained this week, so it was a lot of moisture in the air, but nonetheless, I mean, it's only two races left after this one for these guys, so we had three races left, six motos, and just the way Chase has been on the roll, him and Eli have been battling back and forth, you just had to know something was going to break. And I talked about it last weekend on the show, was that with Eli, you know, I know it was Unadilla, and I know, like, you know, he's not as comfortable there compared to other tracks, but it was just what Chase was doing, the momentum, the way he was walking around, the blonde hair. You can just tell the kid was starting to believe what was going on. So I thought this weekend for Eli was going to be critical for him to, you know, get up here and as I said on the keys to the moto, get that boy to business. And he did. He did the first moto. It started right off the gate. Like, they were, Bud's Creek is one of maybe two or three tracks where in practice you kind of have to pay attention and try to qualify pretty good. I know we always try to qualify. Some guys try to qualify for time's sake and just confidence wise. But for here at Bud's Creek, it's important to get a good qualifying during practice because of the way the gate is. You know, it's a full on 180. So having a good gate position, being top 10 in practice does make a difference. So with Eli coming in, you know, it's been a story all the time where he likes that paddle tire, that scoop tire. Well, with Bud's Creek, the way to start is it's flat, it's deep. So you would think he went ahead and picked the scoop tire. He was one of a couple people to do that. RJ Hamster in the 250 class did it. So it was going to be important for him to get off the start. That's what it told me. I know he runs it all year, but unlike other tracks like Millville and some of these other ones, Bud's Creek is, it actually gets really slippery. And as the track breaks down, it gets drier and drier. Where Millville, you can get up in that fluff. You can keep the tire up in some kind of loose stuff. Where here, it's a little difficult. So going back to the start with Eli, the first moto, he picks a scoop tire. Chase didn't. Eli doesn't beat Chase off the gate. So you would think in Chase's mind, it's a win. You know, Eli needs to get a start. And especially how these last couple motos, I felt like Eli needed to come out strong. And boy, he didn't get a start. And next thing you know, he was passing two or three cats. And he ended up passing Chase. And it was a wake up call. Even me and Jason on the broadcast was like, whoa, Tomac just made his passes. And I think it shocked Chase. It shocked all of us. And it was the first time all year that I think Eli was able to startle Chase so quickly in the beginning part of the race that next thing you know, Chase ended up falling. And I know those guys, you know, Chase has fell over a couple of times, you know, this year, both of them have. But like this one was like it was a flip. It came out of nowhere. And you could tell, dude, he was pissed. He was pissed. And as a rider, Chase did a good job at not losing sight. Because said in Supercross, you know, the guys that win, sometimes that hustle getting back up, you're just like, I just threw away this moto. If you're there to win, you can't do it anymore. You get frustrated. And Chase went to go slam the ground. And he realized, I need to get my ass up and get back up here. So that turned into a few corners later, he ended up going down again. A lapper fell in his way. A guy fell in his way. And he flips over again. So he had two flips in the first lap. And all that was caused by the way Beast Mode came out and passed him, in my opinion. And Eli talked about that at the podium. Was like his whole thing was the first few corners. He didn't get the jump, but he wanted to make moves. And I think that move was to get in front of Chase. Kind of like he did at Millville a few weeks ago. He wanted to get in front of Chase and not let things settle down. And he did it.
What was important for me there was to make moves early. Like the first... five turns.
So once Chase went down the second time, you know, he was obviously frustrated, but it was important for him to do what he did. And I said on the broadcast that out of all tracks to go down in the beginning part of the race, this one was tough. And the reason I said that was because the way the track is set up with all these off cambers and what you saw in both classes, that the leaders were able to pull away. There was big gaps in between people pretty quickly, and you just get funneled up you know, behind a guy, and whether you're battling a guy or you're getting caught up behind lappers, it was really important to actually set your pass up. And when you caught somebody, to actually pass them before you get to certain sections. You get back in these switchbacks on those off cambers, you get caught up behind a guy. It allows the guy in behind you to catch up to you, or you just get stuck. Does two things. Allows the guy in front of you, he can go as slow as he wants. Taking a break, go as slow as you want. You can't do anything. And it just opens up the door for maybe another guy to go around the outside. So with Chase going down the first lap, the first one, you know, it was one mistake and he could have recovered from that. But then when the second one happened, he just lost so much time. But he did a good job at fighting back and getting seventh place. And I said earlier how, you know, when Eli came out, like from last weekend, I thought it was important for him to send a message to Chase, because I think Chase was starting to look at him as getting confidence that I could beat him. And so it was, the momentum was, even though it was, you know, 1 point, it was still rolling in Chase's favor. And, you know, whatever you want to believe, whether I'm wrong, right, Eli says it, they said whatever. I think that shows what happened the first five corners with Eli, how aggressive he was in the beginning part of that race. Says there's some truth behind that. Because if you think Eli's a three-time champion, Chase is somewhat a rookie to winning the championship, being at this position. And if you don't think the last few weekends have been Eli since that and what Chase is feeling, you don't think that was true. Well, just pay attention to how he passed him in the beginning part of the race. And I think that startled Chase. I don't think he was ready for that. So it was good. It was great racing. And it was good to see Eli like do that. And Chase made these mistakes, but he fought. He fought back up. And with this track, as I was saying, it's been, you know, it was a tough race. It's a tough track to come up to the pack of the pack, come up and pass people. So Chase seventh place. At other tracks, he probably would have got back to the top five. But you look at it, he raced and got seventh place. Like, that was all he had. Chase was a little off all day in practice. And when I started, like, thinking about it after the race, Chase was riding kind of how he started riding around like Southwick, a few of his races in the middle, where he was riding about something to lose instead of, you know, gaining, like just flipping the script. Like in the beginning part of the season, you know, he was aggressive. He was racing Eli, you know, he was fast, you know, all whatever. Chances, I'm coming here to win. Once he got that points lead, it started like he started racing. Okay, Eli's in front, whatever. I'm going to get second place, like almost trying to protect it. And he looked at timid. Well, all day in practice, even though he had that confidence going in there, he was just making some odd mistakes. unlike what Chase, and it just looked timid. Well, the first moto happened, he has these two crashes on there. And then so, of course, like he saved this championship by not having another one. But then the second moto, he was riding the same way. And it wasn't like, you know, he was in a good position and he made his way up, which ultimately ends up winning the race. But there was no aggressiveness to Chase. I know it was hard to pass. I know there was a lot going on, but you can just tell like there was a little timidness about him. And I thought Eli, being where he was in like ninth place, just like Chase did a few weeks ago or last weekend, sometimes it, as a rider, you're looking for one person. And in Eli's case, he's looking where Chase is. Well, Chase is not moving up. So you would think Eli would sense that. And no, he's probably timid. He just threw away this thing. And all of us riders, we know, whether we talk to the guy or not, we all been in that position. So you can tell another what another guy's thinking. And I thought it was so important. If Eli would have been able to get around those other guys quickly in that second moto, it would have changed that whole landscape of that race. Chase was not moving forward, but he didn't. He was just kind of looking at where Chase was. And I think he got kind of calm and just said, you know what? I'll just let this thing come to me. Well, it never came. It never came. Those guys that were riding good. So when I watched Chase all weekend and I was talking to my mom about this, she even sensed it. She was like, Chase just seemed a little different. And I just think that was about, okay, it's getting crunch time. Now it's back on your shoulders. You got all the momentum. Eli's the guy I would believe is the guy is the chaser again. And, you know, you almost won the last, you know, few races. If you start going back to Millville, Washougal, he's only, you know, 5 seconds from winning the last six motors in a row. So I think all the momentum is in his favor. And he just rode a little bit different. So in hindsight, you know, thinking about it now, that first moto with Chase throwing all that stuff away might have been a blessing in disguise for him, because one, he can't race that way. And then two, it's like it just showed him, me riding like this and I guess being maybe a little bit more timid, these things can happen as quickly as how strong I've been. I just lost all these points in one moto. So that you add that to the fact that Eli wasn't able to come up in that second moto. You know, I think Chase is actually still with the guy with the momentum, and it's just like in Jet in the 250 class, maybe a little wake up call. So I think these next four motos is going to be key. And if I had to put a bet on one guy, that's probably more important, I would still say this next moto, even though Eli has the number one red plate, I'd say this next moto is more important to Eli than it is Chase. I think Chase understands that, hey, at the end of the day, Eli would be the champ, but he has to have a good sense of Paula's coming up. He likes Indiana. It'd be his hometown race. So for him, he always feels like if he just anything but that first moto happened, he has a chance to beat Eli straight up. In his mind, he feels like he can do it. So to me, Eli missed an opportunity this weekend on really putting the screws to Chase to change this whole thing. But you got to give the kid credit. He was able to do it, and just Eli wasn't able to capitalize. And I think there was a couple of reasons why that happened. And but nonetheless, it didn't happen. Now, El Hambre. Look, I know how to say it. Whatever. That's the way I pronounce it. You guys can say whatever you want. But Mr. Jason Anderson. Now, last few weekends, you could tell with him, out of all the guys out here, a lot of these guys, they're happy. If podium, great. Top five, great. You know, you see with Ken, he gets a podium. He's happy. With Jason, you know, I believe he's still, you know, Chase and Eli are racing at a different level. And I was able to talk to Kawasaki guys after the race, and I was telling them, like, you know, I know how frustrated it is. And if you start looking at times, you'd be like, man, I'm way off, but Jason isn't that far off. You know, you got to remember these guys, Eli and Chase, they're riding at a, I wouldn't say a different level, a different intensity, because everything to them is all about right now. You know, with Jason, he can use this as building and it's going to help him for moving to next year. And as much as he want to win, you still can't replicate being in that title situation. No matter how much he tries, those guys are just going to be at a different level mentally, which makes them a different level riding. And it ain't nothing El Hombre can do because he's not in that situation. So it was great to see him, you know, get a neck burn this weekend. Honestly, like, he was there and he's been riding good all year long, but you would tell he was been sick of that third place guy. He wanted more. So this weekend he was able to capitalize on what was going on around him, and he rode good, and he was able to obviously get the victory. you know, 2-2 equals one. I know the math is odd, but it was a lot of that going on this weekend. But I thought Jason rode really good in the sense of in that second moto, I think if he had to make the pass on Chase on there, like not saying he could have, but I think he would have raced Chase differently. I think he knew 2-2 would have got him overall long as he was in front of Eli. And his mechanic was obviously letting him know what he needed to do. So when Chase passed him and then Chase fell down and Chase got around him again, I think two things happened. He realized that Chase was in a title hunt. He doesn't want to do anything to jeopardize that. And he didn't need to get the overall. So for him, I think he did what he needed to do to get the victory. Because, man, he was making some nice passes right before that drop down where Chase fell at, right before where Chase fell. He passed Roxon. He passed a bunch of cats right there, and he was able to square it up. And he looked good. He looked comfortable. And it was better than the way he looked in practice because I was watching his practice, and he was just overriding the track and charging into it, slamming in the corners. And if you notice, all these berms, these ruts, they got gnarly hooks into it. So in the second moto, these guys are starting to slow down earlier and just keeping those things smooth. Other guys that were slamming into it, they would just lose so much time in it. And so the way you had to ride this track, it was almost like a technical track without having like a lot of dumps. So El Hombre rode good, man. He did. So a lot of this weekend, I honed in about the track and passing people and how much time you can lose where you were catching guys at. And what you notice, like guys, when they caught them, if they didn't pass them, then they would just lose time. And with Butts Creek, there's so a lot of these off cameras, you get these ruts going into them. There's really like two lines in most of these corners. So you don't want to be right up on a guy because you can't see the rut, especially when you have to pick a rut. You don't want to be right up on him because you can't tell where things are and you lose. So they'll start dropping back. And with this place, like you just know you can't pass in certain parts. So it's almost like you have to drop back and almost surprise the guy when you get back because the guy starts relaxing, thinking he's all right, and then you'll jump all over him. So what you saw when guys, they either caught up to him and they tried to get around and they just backed off, and then they caught up to him and they passed him. You never really saw guys just falling like the whole racetrack. Somebody was on somebody the whole time. And that was because of that situation. So it also allowed guys that maybe other tracks that if you were starting to get tired or you didn't have the pace of the other guys, it allows the guys to stay where they're at. You know, so I think the difference between Roxon last weekend and a couple of these other guys was that the track favored them to be able to stay where they're at. Like it neutralized that all out speed. For instance, second moto, Chase wasn't even fastest guy. You know, Dungy was like third fastest. Like they're always pretty close. So I think it neutralized the speed separation because you get caught up in these off cambers and the way the track was. So with Ken, he was able to just stay and, you know, put his bike here, there, not necessarily block, but it just neutralizes where somebody else like Chase or some of these other guys would be able to, you know, run past one outside. So when Chase came through, he didn't race his teammate aggressively, but he didn't move over. I mean, I've seen other guys on other different brands move over easier for Chase than Ken. And in Ken's defense, he's been racing that way all year. I think ever since I said something at Hangtown, you know, letting him by. He's probably been racing him, but in his defense, he was at one point had the overall. So it's kind of tough for him to be like, I understand the whole teammate thing, but I want to win. German Chocolate needs a neck burn. So he was in that position. And, you know, next. So Chase got around him in the second moto, and then El Hombre gets around him. And then you get Dungy. And him and Dungy started going at it in the first moto. And I said that Ken races Dungy different than he does El Hombre. I mean, a lot of people race El Hombre differently too, but I think, you know, Ken, nobody wants to get beat by the guy that's just been on the couch for like 5 years, not saying he's been on the couch, but retired for 5 years. But in Dungy's only issue, speaking on Ryan, his only issue is that nobody wants to get beat by him, you know, since he's been off that long. But since he's been off that long, I think he's in a situation where he's getting, it's like semi-retirement still. Like he feels like he's a fill-in guy. And what that does is, as hard as he's trying, he doesn't want to get anybody's way. And so when you watch Ryan race these guys, he never really gets too close to anybody. You know, if those guys kind of run in, he'll back off. And Ryan's always been on the lesser aggressive side compared to Jason and some of these other guys. But for sure, I know it's tough for him to race this way because he feels like he's in a fill-in spot. And all the other guys know it too. So when they race Ryan, they know he's not going to just run it in and, you know, barsh him. We'll talk about that in a minute. Barsh him. So it's tough for him because he's in this situation where he sees Ken right there. And he's clearly faster. And you could tell when the guy's like, you know, kind of laboring a little bit. This track helped Ken be able to stay in front of him. But in Ryan's defense, the only way he was going to be able to get around Ken, because Ken picked up his pace once El Hombre got in and he saw it was Dungy. He didn't want that to happen, just like the teammate. So Ken picked up his pace. The only way Dungy was going to get around him, if he moved him out the way, move would be hit. And that's what he needed to do with Ken. And so it was tough for him to be able to do that. And I know he was getting frustrated, getting 4-4, even 5. So Ryan's been doing that like all year. His riding this weekend was pretty good along with all these other guys. But I think that was just interesting to watch it, especially this weekend where a track to make passes, you have to get on people real quick and almost somewhat be aggressive with your type of pass to watch it unfold in front of me with Ryan and Ken this weekend. So got two races. To get a win and look a little suspect, just like my pick. At the 86, that tape, don't worry about it. But maybe Mr. Coffee can get one this weekend. And he's going after Paula, where all this, where I picked him for the title to win. Maybe he has something left up. Lead it best for last. But Ryan, just take a bitch out. I'm just saying, I'm sorry for the language. Just take a bitch out. Because, like, you just need to show them that, you know what? I know I supply y'all with the morning cup of coffee. But at the end of the day, I'll snatch this thing and slap you with some creamer. I'll take a bitch out to get one. So that's what he's got to do. How are we going to talk about this, people? How are we going to talk about this? So, it looks like Barsha got disqualified this weekend. Had a little run-in with Ferrandez. And of course, it's Barsha. It's kind of like the other kid, Freeze. You just don't, You can't even get no excuses, like, whatever. You don't get the luxury of, like, well, maybe, what if. But I'm a maybe, what if. There was a part in the first moto where it was just like I saw it, but I didn't really see it because I didn't know what was going to happen in the future, which I should have been like Jet Lawrence, riding in the future, whatever. So, Ferrandez comes in right before the mechanics there, and he hits his single, gets in, passes Barsha. All right, whatever, no big deal. Was it close? Yeah, maybe. But was it aggressive? Maybe. Was it dirty? No. And in the Ferrandez defense, I would have took that same pass too. I would have took it. Barsha went outside. I needed to get around him. I'm trying to get Craig anyway. I'm moving forward. So he jumps in. I think it startles Barsha. Well, apparently, you know, as Bam Bam, you don't like that. He's pissed. You know, he's going to take you out right now. I think part of it is just he's just got to go for a front end. It ain't even personal. Like some of this stuff, it ain't even personal. I don't think he can help himself. So I think we need to just think about that he just can't help himself. He just got to go for a front end. Well, anyways, he's trying to be good. Like he's in the recovery after what happened with Malcolm. He's trying to recover people. He's trying to do the right thing. Well, Ferrandez goes in there and he does that. And he probably is like, I'm getting mad. I'm going to try to get him. But whatever. I'm still in recovery. Well, apparently his mechanic says, get him back. Put it on pit board. Get him back. I mean, come on. What do you think that means? All right. Everybody out there riding. Get him back means pass him. You would just be like, all right, just pass him, right? Like, hey, pass him back. Or keep fighting if you want him to get him. Get him back to me means get him back. When you knock somebody down, you tell your homeboy, you be like, dog, I got him back. So that's how that's how I would see it. So when that happens, I'm assuming what happened that first moto, that little incident, which was not dirty, which just shocked Barsha. Maybe he was lightheaded because he was getting tired or whatnot. Just get in there. And then the mechanic put get him back. I believe that's what caused this second one. Now, if there's something else that we missed that maybe they tangled up before in the second moto, then okay, I get it. But I believe that incident in the mechanics there, right before the mechanics there, and the fact that his mechanic put back, if I'm Barsha, then that means all bets are off. Out of all the people, your team manager, your girlfriend, the bus driver, truck driver, the Uber driver, TSA at the airport, of all people, the mechanics, if he tells you to do something, then you're going to do it because y'all got a bond like no one else. So the mechanic goes out there and tells you, hey, jump that quad. You're going to jump that quad. You're going to jump the quad. Or your mechanic's going to be pissed. Hey, man, get him back. Okay, then I'm going to get him back. So I believe Barsha knocked that French brigade out. Like, I don't even know. He hit him so hard that they disqualified him. Friend was in the pit saying, he was telling, we were looking on the TV coverage, like, oh, Friends is off right now. We didn't know he got Bam Bam. And the next thing you know, Barsha gets black flag. Now, is it wrong? Yeah. I mean, Justin, come on, dude. Like, come on, bro. You know what it is. Like, you ain't getting none of this. What happened with my brother? What's happened all these years past? Now, I will say this. Before everybody jumps on him, I do believe there has been a slight change in Barsha. I think he has changed. And what I'll say, the reason I say that is because back in the day, he used to just take people out, Like, I think they line up on the gate next to him, and that was a vendetta. He's going to take you out, just do it. Got to go for the front end. Can't help it. He don't do that no more. Like, you got to do what, like, Fernandez did or somebody. You know, he's got to have a reason to knock you down, which means in his mind, there's a reason for it. I don't condone that violence. I don't condone it. I'm not saying what he did is right. It's wrong. It's wrong. He's been wrong a few times this year. But to say he's never changed, I would say he has. Now, I'm sure somebody's going to show me a bunch of videos as recently. I'm just taking people out to take them out. And if that's the case, I'm sorry. But from what I've seen, all his takeouts have a reason that I don't agree with, some of them. But there's some, I can find some kind of correlation of why that happened instead of what it used to be in the past. It just happened. And you're like, dude, what did you just do? But again, it happened this weekend. And for his sake, like, it sucks. Because a part of what makes Justin, Justin, is the way he rides.
Guys, but I'm here racing for a living. This is what I do. You can bring the booze, but love it or hate it, this is me.
And he's not doing himself any favors with other guys, blah, blah, blah. But with them disqualifying him, because that's a big deal, and all this stuff, this hoopla about what happened in Salt Lake City, the fans, and then what's going on right now, it's taking away he rides. Like, you know, you're taking away what makes Justin Justin by what he's doing. Now, all this is his fault. There ain't no one else's. It's your fault, Justin. It's your fault. But at the end of the day, I don't even know if he can help himself. But at the end of the day, like, it's like he's either going to be one way or he's going to be the other way. And the kid's trying. Wouldn't even say he's a kid. He's a daddy right now. He's older. He's trying to change, but he can't. Like, he can't because that's who he is. Who he is. It's just gotten to the point to where people are not stopping. They're not starting to like that, who he is. But I don't think the mechanics, he tell you to get him back, or you got him back.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And at the end of the day, Justin, it's your fault. But I can see a change, but the change ain't good enough. And I think, unfortunately for you, that change is going to make you not who you are. I don't even know if you can ride without going for a front end. I don't even know if you can ride without being aggressive. I see your reason. I don't agree with your reason, but I see it. It's not like the past. There was no reason to do this. There was a lot. And before y'all say something, me and Justin, we cool because I'm retired. But I didn't even like the kid when I raised him. Why? Because I didn't want to raise him. I was worried about him taking me out, and he did. I ain't like racing him. So it's not like we buddy-buddy on there. I respect the kid, and I like him now because I ain't racing. And I respect all these guys. They're good. I like everybody. So don't think he's like my homeboy. I'm just telling you what it is. But I don't even think he can race that way. I don't think he can help it. But he's trying to change. But right now, you did Fernandez wrong, man. You did him wrong. And you know, like, they all love me. They don't even like you over there anyway. You went to Burst and you did some stuff. They don't even like you. So you know it ain't going over there. You know when you go over there, they ain't going to like you. So, of course, what you did with my brother, they don't even like you for that. So with this, you get disqualified. It's like, hooray, it's going to be a holiday. But I see you trying to change. And maybe I'm going way too long in this segment. We have to cut this out. But hell, it's Barcia. Somebody's just got to get knocked down. He's just going to go for the front end, people. So don't get upset when you know something's going to happen. That's your problem. It ain't Justin's problem. It ain't Justin's problem that you upset that you know this is the way this guy rides. And he did what he does. Then maybe he can't even help himself. You're getting upset like you expect change. I don't think you're going to get the change that you want. Because it's Barcia. He can't help himself. He's just got to go for the front end. But Justin, you were wrong, dog. And AMA said you were wrong. You got disqualified. At the end of the day, that's on you. Anyways, it's Barcia. He's just got to go for the front end. Don't expect change. Don't expect change. That's your problem. If you expect a different result, that's your problem. Your problem. Your problem. Not Barcia's problem. He's got a problem. His problem is he keeps going for front ends and he can't help himself. Hey. So we talked about tires, paddle tires with Eli. Now, I'm going to just quickly talk about this real quick. I believe Eli made a mistake. I think he made a mistake. I think he realized that he made a mistake, and maybe he don't realize it. Maybe it's not a mistake. Maybe it's just a point that you're just willing to sacrifice certain things because you're comfortable. And hey, more power to you. Look at you. We can sit here and say all this stuff. We can say what you should have done, didn't do, did do. But last time I checked, and I just checked, you got the red plate. So what the hell I know? What the hell we all know? We can sit here and say all that. But that second moto, we know the way that scoop tire is, and we know the track. I mean, he knows that if he didn't get a start and he wasn't able to dictate the race and had to make moves, that scoop tire probably wasn't going to be that good. Why? Because the way to pass on this track, once it started getting dry, you had to get out of the ruts. You had to do what Jason was doing, cut underneath people. And Eli couldn't do that. And I was talking to somebody, another rider after the race that was behind Eli. And he said, he was like, dude, he was doing skin marks in front of him, like about to do a donut, slide, slipping and sliding. So that's the way it looked like on TV. So I know Eli was getting frustrated because of that. But at the end of the day, like, it's your choice. So you got to doubt, lie, whatever. If it's wrong, whatever, indifference, like, as long as you believe, then it's okay to believe. I don't care what anybody else thinks. And I will give Eli that credit. Maybe he does care, but he ain't going to let you know he does care. And he's gonna be committed to what he has. And right now he's committed because he has a number one red plate. He has a red plate. So whatever that commitment is, he's still in there. But I do believe he made a mistake with that tire, or it looked like it. And maybe the track dried out quicker than he thought. But nonetheless, I do believe that tire on there, his choice, was making that race a little bit more difficult than what it should have been. And if you start looking in hindsight, it could have been so pretty for him. even if you'd got two more positions, get around Mr. Coffee, get around German Chocolate, but he couldn't do it. And what ended up happening was this odd math thing, this odd thing where you get 2 + 2 = 1 on there. And what it does, it equals somebody else getting the neck burned today. And what happened at round two, this guy got a neck burn. So 2 + 2 at round 2 = 1, just like it does at round 10. Well, we had Alejandro get a neck burn. Hit from Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Jason, I know you so pissed that you've been the third place guy. You moved up to the second place guy to end up at the first place guy. And that's how the world works, man. It works in mysterious ways. It works for you get 4, 4 = 6 on there. Or you go 11, 12, 12, 11 equals 9. In this world, in Alejandro's world, it equals 2 + 2 = 1 with a red burn, with a back burn, neck, with a neck burn. Jason Anderson, you got it. And I know it felt good. Sometimes, you ever notice the guy goes 2-2? Not even just Jason, but any class. They go 2-2, and they won overall. They happy, but they ain't that happy. Why is that, people? It's because we all winners. Like, we want to win. We want to have that, like, nah, dude, I was the best. I was the best. Look, I won. When they start looking at things like, oh, wait, hey, man, you just inherited what? Like, you the vice president and the president went missing. You end up the president. Oh, that's how 2-2 feels. Like, you just inherited on there. But Jason didn't inherit it. Like, he made things happen. He made that 2-2 happen so he can end up number one. And he knew what it was. So congratulations, Alejandro. I know what it was. You've been non-violence lately. That's what it has been. You've been trying to go, look, man, I'm non-balanced. And that gets you, you're just a third place guy when you like that. So this weekend, you were so frustrated after practice, nervous, you said. You said, I'm nervous because I'm going to shoot all y'all. I'm busting out my 9 today. And that's what you showed him. You showed him. And you showed him with the 9 and with number 1. Congrats, Jason. So that was that for that. So 250 class. Last weekend, we had Mr. Jet Lawrence. Now, the kid had a rough weekend last weekend. He had a rough weekend last weekend. That's too many weekends, people. Too many weekends. And he got on the podium. He was like, everybody's writing me off, saying I'm done. I like that. I used to say that all the time. I think that's how I ended up doing the 2002 Unadilla thing. I don't know. I just told myself that that's the way it is. And we all do that, people. Now, what do you tell yourself? Like, you know what? She's prettier than I thought. He's prettier than I thought. When you know ugly as hell. Whatever it is, you got to motivate yourself to keep moving forward. Well, that's what Jet did. He knew last weekend he messed up. He knew last weekend he threw it away. He knew last weekend he was the best and he screwed it up. So this weekend coming in, he told himself, everybody else write me off. So you know what? I'm going to give everybody the business. And although he didn't give him the business, he gave him the business enough to send that points lead. And that's all that matters with this kid. I'm telling him, he's worried about his Hall of Fame speech. That's what he's thinking about. He ain't worried about these guys. That's why he was like, ah, you know, whatever. Got a little lapse of focus. But he was back. It started from practice. You can tell he was just a lot more serious than normal. They showed a shot of him. And people was like, oh, is he going to be all like tight, uptight? He's like, I like laughing. The reason he's doing that is because that's who he is. He's just a lighthearted kid. He likes to win. He likes to have fun. But that being said, the way he was riding like serious, real methodical. Real thought, like he ain't taking no chances. And he said that on podium. He said a lot of things on there. Gave me a little scrub. What up, Jet? It was good. It was good. I like it. A little Shimoda scrub too. Like that one too.
I knew who was in the booth today. And with that start, I know it wasn't dead last and it wasn't as good as James's. But, you know, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put my Bubba pants on. I went out there and tried doing my best coming through. I hope I did a little Bubba scrub. I hope I did pretty good. I hope you liked it, James. One was for you especially.
But Jet wasn't throwing away nothing. And for Hunter and Cooper, all y'all, that's all y'all can hope for is he'll have another weekend like he did last weekend. And thanks to Mr. 4-1, he had him looking in the phone book, couldn't find the number, end up flipping over. And Jet wasn't doing that. He called Siri and said, find that number, whatever it was. And he just slowly made his way up there. RJ in front, he tried to pass him, whatever. RJ got this scoop tire on there. Eventually, it ain't going to work. Well, RJ has something else to say. Out of nowhere, from somewhere, boy from Dade City, Florida, back. I don't know where he's been. He's been crashing, not crashing. Bike's not been right. He put a scoop tire on there. Next thing you know, he scooped up. And what he ended up scooping up, I'm early for it, Cole. I'm going to be early for this. He ends up scooping up something that he hasn't had since like last year at this time. And he wanted it. He wanted it so bad. I thought he would have one by now, but he didn't because Mr. Jet Lawrence and Hunter Lawrence and Cooper and Shimoda, all these boys been stopping him, but not this weekend. RJ, you got your hit form code.
Suntan, necks on fire.
RJ got him a neck burn. It's the first neck burn with the neck burn. So I don't even know he even knows what that means. It means, RJ, you won. And I know they don't have the fire, but your neck got burnt. In my heart, it got burnt. And you were hot. You were hot in a different way this weekend. You were hot because you was on fire and your neck was on fire. So congratulations. Welcome to the Suntan Club. And you got it done this weekend. So RJ, thanks for representing the Polk County, Florida, Dade City Boys. You don't live in Polk County. That's where I'm at. Just thanks for representing all of us. RJ, cool to see you back. And I was in your truck. We were sitting there watching video. I think it was you. It could have been Wilson. It was my brother. But I did run into that little mannequin thing. That was really odd. People, I don't know, y'all like that thing. That thing scared me. Anyways, I was over at that truck and they were sitting there talking about the bikes and all that. Next thing you know, bam, RJ came out, got a win, and he ended up getting neck burned. So it was on you. You know what, Hunter? That boy haven't been right since he got that points lead. He hadn't been right since Southwick. And I wouldn't say all that's due to like having a points lead, but all that's due because he had the points lead for a while. Because I said it, like, at Red Bud, it's like once Jet went off and he knew he was getting that points lead, he's been riding different since that first moto at Red Bud. And for his sake, like, Southwick, okay, he had that thing. Then he got tangled up with the boy, which he still slapped him upside the head from what I just heard. He's been frustrated, but he's been just having issues. And it's crazy how everything works. Like, when something snowballed, they said the snowball effect. It starts like this, and you roll it. Next thing you know, you got a big old boulder going down the hill. Well, this with Hunter, that's what it is. You know, all that stuff, Jet bike pulls up, inherits it, and then he doesn't start riding different. He rides a little different, and it gets snatched back from him. But, man, he was in banners. All weekend, he was running off the track. Bike's ticking, not ticking. Die Hard 3, 4, 5 had the whole sequel with Hunter. Last weekend, I had the issue with the bike, the rear brake, something. He's picking himself. He hates KTM now. I thought he hit the cameraman on the deal. So for him, it's like what could go wrong has gone wrong. He snatched that tear off so fast. And you just got to feel bad. But as I said a few weeks ago, Hunter still has to realize, like, for him getting upset and for us thinking that he's having a bad time, in fact, that just shows how much he's improved and where he can be and where he wants to be. It's frustrating to go through it right now, but he's made so much momentum that I think next year, like with Jet moving out, he's going to have to deal with Fly East Coast and some of these other rookies coming back in. But I think this is building for Hunter that he should go in next year expecting to win both classes. I mean, both series, 250 Supercross and outdoors. And it's all because hopefully he finishes these next two races off and then have a good offseason, and then all that momentum building back up. What I said to Jason this weekend, like, dude, all this stuff that's going on, like, I know you're getting frustrated and you just got a neck burn today, but, like, it's building you for, like, next year, like, on there. Like, when I raced in 2013 after missing the outdoor series, like, got me, like, maybe one victory where I had to add up when I thought Kennard won in Millville. But what that did, that set me on the right path. And for 14 to where I was a lot better in 14. And then I ended up getting suspended for 15, but I was riding better at the end of 14 than I'd had in years. And all that was because, like, I was just there and you start grinding. So for Jason and Hunter, these guys are up there. They're doing it. They're it's frustrated now, just like I was then. I'm like, man, I want to win. But when you start looking in hindsight, and I know they will down the road, they're going to be pumped for what it is. So I think all that, just look at Shimoda. I mean, Joe, the scrub was awesome, by the way.
Like that, just made him. Oh, was that a JS scrub? What? What's up? Man, that looked like Bogle. What up, Bogle?
I didn't even know it until I ran in both of you guys at the end of the race. As we were walking out and Jet came out, I was like, you see this scrub for her? And I was like, oh, yeah, I was pumped. He had me like nervous. I didn't even know like what happened when he said it on the TV. Kind of threw me off guard, but that was pretty good. So I appreciate that. But you look at Joe, like, that kid's legit. He's always been legit. But you combine with how he's riding with the team, you know, being friends with Jet, second in the points right now, how he had the Supercross season. It kind of came out of nowhere if you start looking at it. And like, he's a guy. Like, he's legit now. He feels like he should win races. He went from winning that first one at Red Bud, and he didn't even know he won it, to now he expects to win it. You gotta believe Far East Coast. Mr. Shimoda knows what it was. So he got a half neck burn this weekend. But back to my point, I think as frustrated as Hunter is, and as many hay bales and tough blocks and banners he ran into this weekend, he gonna look at it down the road and be like, yeah, this was a good year for him. So just keep it up. And Justin Cooper, it was a tough weekend for you. I think for him, after winning these second motos, I think mentally, all he cares about now, he's Captain America, got that slot. I think he cares about winning. That's it. So I think you saw a part of, like, I heard he was sick this weekend, so he ran out of energy. But just from the looks of it, I just think he cares about winning so much that, like, it's like kind of all of nothing. Like, there's really nothing else to race. He ain't going to get third in the points. He's so far back. And so he comes there, and the last couple weekends, he could have won. Actually, he could have won both overalls. If you'd have stayed up, who knows, that first moto at Washougal, he won the second one pretty easy. He crashed the first one. Same thing in Unadilla. He rode good at first moto. He crashed, and then he came back and won the second one. So with this one, I think once he crashed in the first moto, like, it was just kind of like, dude, I'm sick. I'm hot. I already solidified my Captain America pick. I'm going to try my best, but like, it is what it is. And that's what I saw in the second moto. Add that up with being sick. I think he was just like, it is what it is. So, Justin, just like everybody else, they tired of Jet doing what Jet does and winning in Far East Coast. But nonetheless, got two weekends. I expect Justin to get another win in this weekend. And then we move on. All right, people, that was enough of that. It's enough of whatever I just was talking about. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Stews and Stews. Let's get into it. But first, let's take a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, people, we back. You know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Hello, all of us favorite time. I know it's going to be a couple people's favorite time on this list. Stews and Stews. Well, first, you know how we do it. We're going to just ease into it. We're going to get in with a stew. What does that mean? A stud. A guy that's just, he did it better than everybody else. A guy that can just finish second twice and end up as a win. That's a stew. Because that math doesn't make sense, but it makes sense in this world. And you know where we at. The default, Jason Anderson. Now, I said, like, last weekend, you know, you just automatically get a default, Stu. Because if you win, you're better than the rest. You can't just get left off this list. To any kind of victory, it's doable. It's nice. That means you a stud. But Chase wasn't. And I felt a couple rides at Eli. It wasn't default Stews. They were real Stews. And although this guy's a real Stew, I'm going to put this in that category where it's somewhat of a default because 2 + 2 doesn't equal 1, but it does in this world means it's a default. Oh, and they're in default by default. No, you didn't win either moto, but you end up winning. That means you're still Jason Anderson. Now, I don't think I'm saying or knocking you because you're a default. I love to get a 2 + 2 right now equals 1 kind of stew in this day. And at the end of the day, you did it better than everybody else and more consistent than everybody else. But I can tell, Jason, you want more. Even though you got what you wanted, you want more. So, Jason Anderson, you a stew, of course. And then RJ Hampson. Like, is he a stew? Of course he is. Now, what kind of stew? Is he a default stew? Nah, I'm not going to put him in that. Why? Because he chose that paddle. He chose that paddle. He could have been out here or he could have been on the paddle boat riding across the lake. Could have been one of those videos where he was like skimming across the water with that paddle tire. But he made that choice and that choice led him to a neck burn. And of course, he hasn't had one for a while. So RJ, you a stew for getting this one. I wanted to get through those real quick, people, because this is the real stew. This is the real one. This is one that's dear to my heart. Mr. Jason Wagon, you a stew. You a stew, dude. One, you a bad mofo. I told you that on the weekend. You made my trip, my commentating enjoyable. But for a guy that can interact with a bunch of dummies or a dummy as in myself and keep it seamless, and what he does his own show. He does this show, he does that show, he does this show, he does that show. And when I keep saying I know he does that show and this show, it's because the dude does a lot of stuff and he does a lot of stuff for the sport. But that guy's bad, dude. He might have some weird yellow looking glasses this weekend. It was odd. It was bright. But man, that dude's a professional and I appreciate it, Jason. I had so much fun. So all you and whole TV production, Mav TV, y'all stews, all y'all. Everybody from TV land, y'all stews, but y'all don't realize how much work goes on, how much stuff that's going on behind the scenes to make these things work. And sometimes they don't work, but they're trying. All this production crew, it was an honor. I had a blast. And hopefully y'all call me back to do some more because I want to do some more. So y'all stew. And then all the fans that was at Butts Creek, once they realized I wasn't my brother, and once they realized, wait, that is James Stewart back there. I got a lot of love, people. Got a lot of love. I felt great. Made me want to come back. Want to be back for some more, like I never left. So that was super cool. So default, Jason Anderson, non-default, wish the RJ Hampson for Dade City, Florida, getting it done. Jason Wagon, TV production crew, all y'all stews and all my fans out there. It was awesome. I appreciate it. And call me. I'll come back. Well, there you got it. Those are your stews. Now, stew, pissed off. Pissed off because you can't add, right? Pissed off because AMA can't add, right? Pissed off because you're like, dude, he told me to get him and I got him. And the next thing you know, I got punted out. I got disqualified. Stewed. So, of course, first dude, you're going to be with RD Coffee, Mr. Ryan Dungey. Why is he stewed? Did he ride bad this weekend? No. I mean, actually, best, maybe one of the better rides he had this year. Okay. Did he get tangled up with somebody? No, he didn't. He did what RD does. He's just there. Come back out these 5 years being retired, giving these boys the business. Why is RD stew? Because he went 4-4 equals 5. What? Wait a minute. See, he's stew because that doesn't add up. How can I finish the best I have all year and finish worse than what I did in both motos? Well, that's just the way the math works, son. The way the world turns, like the old stories back in the day. Jason Anderson, go 2-2 equal 1. So they just missed that one. Then they missed this one. So you mad at the way the AMA point system is. Obviously, you're like, man, this doesn't make any sense. So you stew. And of course, the next two, they stew because of each other. Barcia and Ferrandez. Now, come on, Justin. You know you have a little issue with the French crowd. I don't. You do. They booba, man. I love it. You've been going at them since back in the day, back when I was racing, and that was back in the day. So you're going to go out there and hit Ferrandez because maybe your mechanic told you, I don't know. And I know you can't help it. You just got to go for a front end. You can't help yourself. You're trying to change. You're trying to change. You got little Johnny running around, but you got to go for the front end. And little Johnny going to go for the front end. And Ferrandez, I know you're like, dude, come on, man. I thought since he took Mookie out and got booed out of the stadium, they still booing people, that he'd be like, all right, I'm changed. He's changed a little bit. He ain't just taking you out for no reason. In your mind, it's no reason. And maybe it is for no reason. You ain't really do nothing wrong. But nonetheless, you got T-Bone. Me and Jason on the call, like, eh, there he is. Why is he in there? I guess he got taken out by somebody. He's saying, look, that Ushachi, the Charité, the Ufran, for France, whatever it is. Whatever you're trying to say, that's what you were saying on there. We couldn't read lists, but we didn't know it was like this, bro. So I feel bad for you. So Dylan, you stew. Justin, you stew. Because you're like, dude, I was just doing what I was doing. I can't help myself. I went for that front end and boom, I get disqualified. So you stew. And that's about it. Like nobody else is stew. So Ryan Dungy, because 4 + 4 = 5 in this world. You piss. What kind of number system is that up here? Ken Roczen, let Jason pass you. Let Jason pass him. And then he's going to run me different. He's going to run me different. And he know I'm halfway retired still. I'm semi-retired. You know I can't get up there and bump him. He knows that. So you stew. And then the French Connection. And then Justin. Because you go for front ends. And Ferrandis, you didn't expect him to go for the front end. You thought he was a changed man. So there's your stews. All right, people. That was it from round 10. At Bud's Creek, where we had Mr. RJ. Let's hit it for him. He hasn't had it for a while. Let's hit him for him again, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
And then we have Mr. Jason Anderson. Goes 2 + 2 = 1 in this world. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
They both got neck burns, and it was good. I know you had Eli doing this thing, Chase doing this thing. It was like partly like I was watching the Olympics again, the whole Bud's Creek Olympics. Flipping and not flipping and staying behind the tire selection. But that was it from round 10, where you had RJ and then Ferrandis El Hambre hit a victor. All right, people, I'll see you next week, next Tuesday, as we always do, from round 11 up at Indiana. Well, we'll be back and hopefully we'll have some more to talk about. We always going to have something to talk about. And again, all the people, Jason Wagon, I'm going to go you another stew. Matt TV, another stew. All the fans, all y'all stews. Well, I appreciate it. I had so much fun, and I want more. I want more. So y'all better call this black brother right here because brother wants more. Had a blast. Thank you. And until then, I'll see you when I see you. Next Tuesday at 5 p.m. I'll see you.